The story of Bears No Deer is in fact the story of our struggle and ultimately of our liberation.
It's a story born of friendship between Yersha François Nordier and General Beyers in the Anglo-Boer War. It's a story born of marriage between Nordier and his Dutch wife Adriana in World War I. But it really begins in Roodepoort on the 10th of May 1915. That's when Christian Frederik Beyers Nordier was born and named after the Boer rebel. Beyers Nordier, affectionately known as Oom Bey, was bred as a white Afrikaner in the Dutch Reformed Church, the National Party, the Broederbond, and apartheid. The university in Stellenbosch shaped his thoughts and outlook during the Great Depression and World War II. He eventually followed in his father's footsteps and fulfilled his mother's wishes by studying theology.
I began to ask myself, what is the meaning of the Christian faith? What does it mean to me?
1940 was an important year for 25-year-old Beyers Nordier. He married the diminutive pillar of strength in his life, Ilse Weerder. He was appointed to serve the church in Wellington. And he was invited to join the Broederbond as its youngest member.
I would be dishonest if I would say that personal ambition did not play a role. Because naturally I felt that this would become or could become, you know, a possible step towards being accepted in wider circles to obtain a leadership position, you know, in the church. I never thought about politics. I never thought about a political future, but I was thinking in terms of my role in the church. And in that sense, it definitely did play a role.
And slowly but surely, Beyers Nordier rose through the ranks of the Dutch Reformed Church. But after spending some time overseas, in the mid-1950s, Beyers Nordier started questioning the biblical defense of apartheid.
The result was that I undertook a self-study of those relevant passages which my church then was using to justify apartheid. And I discovered that there was no way in which I could any longer, you know, support that and subscribe to that.
Two historic events in 1960 propelled his metamorphosis, the Sharpeville Massacre and the so-called Cottesloe Conference, at which most South African churches agreed that apartheid was unbiblical, unchristian and evil. It created a deep chasm between the Dutch Reformed Church and those against apartheid. In March 1961, Beyers Nordier criticized his church for lacking moral courage. He warned that winds of change were raging. 1963 was another turning point. Beyers Nordier resigned from the Broederbond and lost his status as religious minister when he became the first director of the Multiracial Christian Institute to promote Christian unity, ecumenical service and social justice.
It was a traumatic, difficult and, you know, it was a painful but decisive year in my life.
In October 1977, the apartheid government banned the Christian Institute and 62-year-old Beyers Nordier. For 7 years, he couldn't leave Johannesburg, enter a township, socialize with more than one person, or be quoted. The banning order was designed to remove him from society. Beyers Nordier used his banning period to question individuals about apartheid, about their pain, sorrow, frustration, and resistance. And to prevent him from becoming bitter, he leaned on God and his wife.
And I asked her and I said to her at times, Ilse, you must please watch me. Because if you notice in my attitude, in my voice, in my reactions, any sign or root of bitterness or hatred or revenge, please tell me. Because if I allow that to grow, it will erode whatever is meaningful and deep in your life. It will not liberate me to be able to understand and to forgive.
When Beyers Nordier was finally unbanned in September 1984, he first spoke of the desperate need for new human relationships. Almost immediately, Beyers Nordier succeeded Desmond Tutu as Secretary General of the South African Council of Churches during the states of emergency in the mid-1980s. He wanted to slow down, but his work was far from over. The ANC included him in its constitutional negotiating team. The church of his birth finally apologized to him, and he continued to cry out against corruption.
As I see the future, except if we in South Africa find a way to build a society where there can be the necessary tolerance and respect and acknowledgement of the dignity and the rights of every one of us, we will not be able to live together in a future South Africa.
Beyers Naudé will be remembered for having seen the light way before others, for the courage of his convictions to speak out, and for always preaching reconciliation and peace.
If, in this sense, you know, my life and my witness has helped people to get a deeper understanding of the Christian faith, of the need for deep and meaningful human relations, of the willingness to forgive the weaknesses of others, then I am very grateful that I could have made that contribution.